And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Friends, this is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today I'm going to have so much fun because we're going to unmask some secrets. This is Secrets Volume 149. And boy, I have some real interesting things. A Freemason wrote me, member of the Masonic Lodge, and he wanted to correct me about Jesus. You may want to know what he has to say about Jesus. And then you can make up your own mind as to whether Tex Mars needs correction. I'm always willing to listen to the correctors out there. And if they're right, if they're wrong, though, well, that's another story. Hey, a lot of symbology, a lot of numerology in the occult world. We'll talk a little bit about that. And the great NAFTA superhighway. It's more than NAFTA, of course. It's the global superhighway that's going right through the state of Texas, on up through the Midwest, up through Minnesota and right into Canada, and headed from Mexico and bringing together the three once great nations into the North American Union. And we'll tell you the latest about that and what's going on there. Quite interesting. A lot of things going on with the Jews in Israel, including, according to my good friend, Pastor Ted Pike, a surge in pedophilia, pedophiles among the top rabbis and leaders of Israel. We'll get into that. Hey, how about the Jews' chicken ritual? Chicken. Now, I'm not talking about going down to Kentucky Fried Chicken or Church's Fried Chicken or one of those places and having yourself a leg or a breast. I do that. I call that my Kentucky Fried Chicken ritual. Yeah, okay. Now, this is something else. This has to do with voodoo, magic, and Jewish rabbis. And, you know, it might not only be chickens that are being sacrificed, but human beings by the Jews. Now, not all Jews, please understand. I mean, not all Baptists are corrupt. Not all Pentecostals are corrupt. Not even all Catholics are corrupt, but some are. And the Jewish religion itself is evil and wicked because its own holy book is supremely devilish. Can that be proven? Well, wait and see. We'll talk about that. Some people, according to my good friend Ingrid Schluter of Wisconsin, I hope Ingrid is doing okay. I hope to go see her again up in Milwaukee. I've been a number of times on their wonderful radio, Christian radio station up there. But Ingrid says that some people today are ashamed of Jesus. Even pastors, even ministry leaders, they're ashamed. Well, we got so much to talk about today. A fake Holocaust book. No. A fake Holocaust book? Hoaxes? About the Holocaust? Oh, no, that wouldn't happen. And then, according to a British newspaper, some people are upset about the European parliaments adopting a flag and an anthem. But you would have already known about this if you'd simply read my book, Mysterious Monuments. Well, a lot to go there, and I hope I can get to all this, because it's just so very interesting. I'll start with an email that I got from a person. I won't give you their name. You know, I'm not here to embarrass individuals who write to me. I never do that, do I? No, I don't. And so, you know, let's just, his initials are TD, so he'll know who I'm talking about. He writes, "Dear Mr. Mars, my name is TD, and I recently purchased your book, Codex Magica. As I was reading your book, I started noticing statements that were far from the truth. You see, I myself am a Mason and a Christian. There is nothing that hoodwinks us from our Christian religion. I understand," he says in this email, Mr. Morris, that your beliefs in your book is full of your opinions. I understand that your books sell well because people are curious to find out things they do not understand. I applaud your success. But if you want to exploit something or someone, you should really do more research. You stated, he continues to write here, that Masons are taught to believe the true name of God is Jabulon. But what about you? Do you speak about the true Jesus? Have you, writes T.D., have you, Mr. Morris, ever researched and found out the truth that there were actually two people named Jesus on the cross at the same time? We Masons know this. Have you, claiming yourself a Christian, ever researched and wrote about the fact that Jesus was actually born in a cave in Ethiopia, in Africa? How about Mithras, the sun god, who, like Jesus, was born to a virgin 600 years before Jesus on the date of December 25th? He performed miracles, turned water into wine, and was killed and rose again. Why shouldn't Christians believe in him? I do. Masonry teaches the truth. It teaches you to become a better man or persuades us to be better in whatever religion we believe in. We do not attempt to persuade people to believe in Jesus because we know that Jesus is simply a synonym for many gods. Well, even a Muslim, he writes, can be a good Mason as long as they're a good Muslim. Okay, I'll go, and he has some more things to say. I'll let you make up your mind. Do you think I tell the truth when I say that Jesus is the only way to heaven? That the Holy Bible tells the truth about him? I say, Tex Morris says, that Allah is not God. No matter what the Masons and the Islamicists say, I, Tex Morris, teach the truth, in my opinion. Yes, it is my opinion, but it's based on an incredible body of facts found in the Holy Bible in its 66 books. I believe supremely that there is only one God, and there is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three, the Apostle John taught, are one. Muhammad is not part of the Holy Father, nor is Mithras. Of course, TD, I know all about Mithras, and I know about these myths that Satan brought forth. You see, Satan knew the real story of Jesus. He was in heaven. He knows who Jesus is, and he seeks to confuse people by bringing up all these pagan mythologies. It's only natural that he would do so, to confuse, to deceive the mind of people. And that's why the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How many ways? All his ways. How many? All. Double-minded. Two Jesuses? TD? Really? I don't think so. Did Jesus tell the truth when he said, I and the Father are one? I believe that. Now, I know that, you know, TD, what you're teaching us here, which is good. I mean, I'm glad that now you have revealed some of what Freemasonry actually believes. Because many Masons say, I can't tell you all about what we believe. Oh, I took an oath of secrecy. But of course, we believe in Jesus just like you do. What a bunch of baloney. You're liars. TD, thank you for telling us the truth. You came out and said, hey, we believe it doesn't matter what God you believe in. You can be a Muslim, you can be a Hindu, it doesn't matter. We Masons worship all the gods. We just think you ought to be a better man. That's what Stalin and Lenin and Hitler at least told the masses. Because in the communist Soviet Union, they said our goal is the new man. That's what the New Agers teach. That's what Masons teach. They want to make you a better man. Throw Jesus in the ditch, and then you'll be a better man. Throw Jesus, the real Jesus. Believe in all these others. And finally, TD. I doubt if you're a 33rd degree Mason, because if you were, you would know that they teach that you yourself are God. And the Christ consciousness, they say, is found in every man, as is the Buddha consciousness. And the Krishna, the Hindu God consciousness. Why? You found out in the 33rd degree that even the Persian God, you know, Ahura Mazda and all the others, Zoroaster, they're all equal to Jesus. That's what you'll find out. It's a lie, but that's what you'll find out. Now, folks, you can believe TD and Freemasonry, or you can believe Tex Mars. You know, I love what God has done. He has given you the free will to choose. Now, some people don't believe in free will, but I do. I believe there's an incredible combination at work between free will and predestination. I believe they're both true. You say, well, they can't both be true, predestination and free will. Oh, yes, they can. God chooses you from the beginning. Before you're ever born, he chooses you for his kingdom. But you don't know that, so you go through the world, and guess what? You're following a script. You think you're independent. You think you're sovereign. You don't know anything. If you think that, God mathematically has arranged the whole world, even the things that you are to do to please him. And if you want to be a happy camper, as they say in the old, you know, backwards language, which I sort of lack sometime, you know, being a happy camper, well, follow God. Do what he wants. Ask yourself every day, God, what would you have me do today? And then say, Lord, show me the path that I must follow this day. You can't go wrong if you do that, friends. Did you know in Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says that God arranges the good works that you're to do every day? You think, well, I call up so-and-so and set up a lunch. I call my friend Jackie and she and I are going to go shopping. Well, I'm going to take my kids. You know, James says in the Bible, don't say to yourself, tomorrow I'll go to this city and I'll do this or I'll do that. But instead say, if it's God's will, I will do that. Oh, yes. Dear friends, listen. God's will is greater than your will. And if your little bitty will with a lowercase w is not in line, is not aligned with the greater will of God, and that's the capital W, let me tell you, he will break your will. Am I preaching today? Yeah, because I want you to understand. Even Jesus preached this sermon when he prayed. I mean, I think even Jesus' prayers were sermons. And he said, Father, not my will, but thine. Now, I know all these word of faith people say, just decree it. Just speak it into existence. Just make positive confessions. And you know what I say? You leave God out of that and you're in big trouble. I will have a big car. I will have a boat. I will have a fancy job. I will have this boyfriend or girlfriend that I want. You will not have anything but misery. You say, but text positive confessions. Listen. I want to introduce you today to the world's most positive thinker. In fact, his story is found in Isaiah. You don't believe it? Well, go to Isaiah. You'll find where Satan, that is Lucifer, and he is identified as Lucifer. I believe it's Isaiah 14, if I'm not mistaken. I'll look that up on the break in a minute and make sure of it. But it says there that Lucifer makes five positive confessions. That's right. Every word of faith heretic ought to know about this, that Lucifer made five straight, that is consecutive, positive confessions. He said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Is that five? I think it is. I may have got exaggerated there, you know, going over with enthusiasm. He even said, I will be like the Most High. I will make my kingdom up in the heavens. I will. Now, a guy like that, the greatest positive thinker in the world, who makes Dale Carnegie and Norman Vincent Peale and Robert Shuler and all the others, he puts them to shame. He's such a positive thinker. Follow his example. 5 straight positive confessions. But then the prophet Isaiah summarized the whole thing. After Lucifer made these 5 positive confessions of what he was going to do, Isaiah said, here's your destiny, the pit of hell. This is your destiny. Not one of those 5 things will you succeed at. Your destiny is the pit of hell. Wow. Wow. Of course, Lucifer never said, if it's God's will, I'll do those things, because he wanted to replace God, to supersede God. There was his mistake. Okay. All right, I got a letter here from Robert, and he thanks me for my newsletter and says that my most recent power prophecy is quite a blast of reality. That's great. Thank you very much, Robert, for writing that. And he also especially thanks me for exposing the real Zionism as of the Kabbalah. But he asked me this question. He says that Dr. Alberto Rivera, the Jesuit priest who converted to biblical Christianity, he's dead now, once said he believed that the protocols of the learned elders of Zion were written by the Jesuits to turn the world against the Jews. And Robert wanted to know if this is so. Well, actually, it isn't so at all. And Rivera, he obviously didn't know that, and that was his opinion. But it wasn't true. As a matter of fact, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion were produced by Moses Hess and other Jews, all of this was exposed many, many years ago in Russia, a Russia whose czar at the time, their king, was firmly opposed both to Freemasonry and to Zionism. And that's why, of course, he was targeted. When Russia and its secret police came forth with the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, the Jews in charge, the billionaires who make up the highest levels of the rabbinical councils, turned against the Tsar of Russia and declared a holy war against Russia, its people, and its Tsar. The end result was that in 1917, of course, Vladimir Lenin, a Jew, along with his sidekick, the New York Bronx Jew, Leon Bronstein, you can get that in the Encyclopedia Britannica, by the way. Leon Bronstein, who changed his name to Trotsky to appear to be a Russian, but he actually was a Jew along with, not a native Russian, along with Lenin, who came from Germany and had lived in Germany and had learned all the Marxism and communism from his German Jewish communist friends. And they founded the Soviet Union's horrible bloodlust state. It resulted, according to the greatest historian of the 20th century, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, a Russian Christian, it ended up in some 66 million, mostly Christians, going to their death in Gulag concentration camps, firing squads, and just horrible, brutal deaths. Christian churches were closed throughout that country. Many of them were burned down. Others were turned into stables for cattle and horses. Churches, Christian churches. But synagogues, not one was destroyed. Not one Jewish synagogue was destroyed. Many new ones were built. And would you like to know, dear friends, the very first law that was enacted by the communists when they seized control of the Soviet Union, what was then Russia and became the USSR? Would you like to know what the very first law, what if you became dictator of, let's say, America, what would be the first law that you enacted, which really was just a decree? Because obviously the Congress would be just a rubber stamp. Yes, sir, whatever you want. Let me tell you what it was in Soviet Russia. It made it a death punishment for anyone to defame the Jews or Judaism. Did you get that? It was against the law, punishable by death, to say one bad thing about the Jews or Judaism. Isn't that interesting? We were told, of course, that Marx was an atheist, that he hated all religion. We were told that Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin believed in Marxism. But in fact, Marxism was a Jew who believed in an international form of Zionism, which could be achieved through a global form of socialism. And that socialism would bring evolution and the new Soviet man to its zenith. And then the Jews would rule the world. That's what communism was all about. And that's why the first law passed by the communists made it punishable by death to oppose the Jews or Judaism, or to say even one thing. In other words, discrimination, even in speech, was against the law. Now you could say, you could make fun of Christians, you could mock Christians, you could blaspheme the name of Jesus, but don't say one word about the Jews or the synagogue. Death. Oh yeah, we know what they were. We know what they were. Okay. Here's an interesting letter I got, actually an email from Scott. He says, hi, Tex. Today I came across a video saying that today, September 29th, 2008, Rosh Hashanah, that's the Jewish holiday, is the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel, according to the Jewish Kabbalah book, the Zohar. Amazing, isn't it? Because this very day, we had a nice 777 rise on the Dow Jones average. The 70th week of Daniel, writes Scott, is also known as the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation, according to some Bible scholars. Interesting, isn't it? Some people say in a text, are you telling me that they made sure that the stock market went up exactly 777 points that day? Oh, yes. They do that all the time, things like that. Well, okay. Reminds me of the time, you know, we were all invited over to this little party of kids. I think I was about 12 years old at the time. And all the kids then, you know, in their little innocence, said, let's play spin the bottle. And they, you know, you got down, you spin the bottle, and, you know, and whoever spent it, whatever, you know, the opening of the bottle hit on, then if a little boy, if it went to a little girl, they'd go in the back and they would hug or just kiss once. You know, very little peck on the lips, or sometimes a little girl, you know, would turn her little cheek and you just peck her on the cheek. That was play spin the bottle, you know, okay? That was really racy, I guess, for the kids. And that was all it was all about. But, you know, I made sure that every time I spin the bottle, it always ended on this pretty little girl that I was interested in. Isn't it interesting? You just give it just enough, you know, of a twist, of a turn to make sure. But every once in a while, the bottle missed. That sort of upset me a little bit, because then it would go to the little girl next door to her, and she wasn't so pretty in my mind, you know. But anyway, spin the bottle, make sure it ends up aimed at whoever you want it to. Well, they can make sure that the Dow Jones average or the NASDAQ or the S&P 500 end up the way they want to, believe me. Hey, I'll tell you somebody else who's going to make sure that something ends up the way they want it, and that's the Chinese, the Spanish, the Americans, and the other members of the Illuminati who are planning this huge superhighway through Mexico, the United States, up into Canada. This is going to be sort of the link. It's always been true, you know, that railroad lines or trails, pathways, highways, through and across borders, somehow almost magically linked nations together. This has been true throughout geographical history. And so it is that the elite believe, for many reasons, that they need a superhighway coming up from the heart of Mexico through the heart of the United States into the heart of Canada, because they believe it will meld into one commercial superstate all three of these nations. And as you know, their goal is a North American Union and a tri-nation Amero currency and the end of American sovereignty. Well, I've done some research to find out if this goal is still on. After all, we've had a lot of commotion in the global stock markets and financial world. So I wanted to know, do they still have the money to build it? And you know what I found out? Well, this week I called some of my contacts, and, you know, I have a lot of contacts that I can't tell you all their names, but people are able to communicate with me in ways that you wouldn't believe. Some people say, well, what if I sent him an email or a letter? Might somebody read it? Well, the point I'm trying to make is this. People are able to communicate. You know, I didn't write the book Codex Magica about the secret hand signs and everything of the Illuminati for no reason at all. People are able to communicate, and there are some folks out there, even in the FBI and the CIA and at very high levels, who do communicate with me. And here's the scoop on this. First of all, the Chinese corporation, really owned by the communist government, Hutchison Whampoa. Now, these are the people that are buying up ports throughout the world, and especially in North, Central, and South America. Hutchison Whampoa now operates the Panama Canal. The Panama Canal. They could shut off all the traffic going from the Atlantic to the Pacific if they see fit. The Chinese basically own the Panama Canal. Who gave them that right? Panama? No, the United States did. Panama just had to rubber stamp the deal. Now, this huge corporation, this port authority, Hutchison Whampoa of China, is working with a Spanish European conglomerate called Cintra, C-I-N-T-R-A. And the elite, the Bilderbergers and the others, including many American elite, are working with Hutchison Whampoa, the port people. They're building a port on the Pacific side of Mexico and a port on the Atlantic side. And they're building a highway, and it will go, these two highways will meet together, and then they will form this superhighway that comes up through the United States. Now, it's being built through Texas and in some other states right now. And Cintra Corporation is building this gigantic highway. Now, they had some problems in building it from the farmers and ranchers of Texas and the little townspeople who didn't want to give up their land. And they were fighting this. And, you know, a lot of the little bitty newspapers, you know, the little weekly, the Farmers News and everything, and these little bitty town newspapers. Oh, they're not like the big daily newspapers of Detroit and New York and Washington and Austin and Los Angeles. But they have a lot of say in their editorials and everything among the back people, the backwoods people of East Texas and Central Texas and so forth. And they were raising a lot of cane about this highway, saying it shouldn't be built. Well, Cintra Corporation, along with their buddies Hutchison Whampoa, along with the bankers of Vizcaya Bank that's financing the whole thing. That's right, Vizcaya Bank of Spain and Argentina is financing this little project, at least the southern part of it, through Mexico and the United States. And eventually, of course, this highway will be built, and it will go all the way down through Central and into South America, and we'll link all of the Americas. We'll just have one big nation. And then, of course, we'll link up with the other two regions of the world, and the Trilateral Commission's aim will be finalized. Now, you have to understand how they work this. First of all, to make sure that all the contractors, you know, the construction people, the concrete mixers, and all that other, and the people that are buying up all the land have enough money, they have Vizcaya Bank. And it's operating in Texas. Now, some people say, well, I've never heard of Vizcaya Bank. I mean, I go all over and I see Wells Fargo and I see Wachovia and Bank of America, but I've never seen anything called Vizcaya Tex. Does that really exist? Hey, listen to me very carefully. Have you ever heard of Texas State Banks? Have you ever heard of Compass Banks? And there are many others who have their own local individual names, and they have all been bought up by this gigantic Spanish Argentinian bank called Vizcaya. Now, I know this because I received a letter from my local bank, which is Compass Bank. And, you know, Compass Bank actually began as some little bitty bank here about 40 miles out of Austin, Texas. And pretty soon they were having all kind of branches built everywhere. And Juan and I opened up our bank account there, checking account and so forth. Got a letter from them. They said they wanted us to be assured that they were not going to run out of money and that our money was safe. You know, they sent this out to everybody because recently, you know, a lot of people have been alarmed over what's going on in the banking industry. And so Compass Bank sent me out a nice little letter, and they said, "Dear Tex Mars and Wanda Mars, don't worry. Compass Bank actually is part of a global consortium. And we're not about to run out of money. You don't have anything to fear." And I said, "A global consortium? Well, I thought it was just a little local bank, Compass." So I did my own little research and investigation, folks. And as you know, when I get going on something, well, I'm pretty good at it when I investigate. Come to find out, Compass had been bought up by Vizcaya, along with many other banks, First National, City, and many other banks in Texas and Arizona and about 20 states. So they're doing all the funding. You think it's local banks and state banks and national banks of the United States, but it's this Vizcaya group. Meanwhile, the highway is being built by the Sintra, this large corporation from Europe, from Spain. And the ports are being built down in Mexico by Hutchison Whampoa. And then I was recently doing a little research and come to find out the Chinese government, through its banks, recently gave Hutchison Whampoa a huge infusion of cash for projects being conducted in North America. Ooh. You know, the same Hutchison Whampoa attempted to buy up Long Beach, California's ports. And they want to buy up other ports up on the East Coast of the United States. They are buying all of the ports, and they're building this highway. And by the way, of course, it's going to be a toll road. So they bought up the banks. Now, how do they stop these little local newspapers from writing bad things about them and exposing them and getting all the farmers and the ranchers and the little landowners that they're eating up their land, gobbling up their land, and keep them from getting upset? Well, here's what they did. They went and bought up 600 newspapers and publications throughout that area of Texas. 600, just bought them up. Most of them, you know, they go down, I'll give you 50,000, 20,000, 30,000, 300,000, 10,000 for your little operation. Many of these were mom and pop printing presses and such. They were glad to get the money. They didn't even know who was giving it to them. You want my little, you know, Tyler, Texas Rose printing outfit? Sure. 75,000? Wow, mama, we've got a winner here. We're only worth 30,000. They want to give us 75. Yeah, we'll sell our little newspaper to you. And now guess what? All the editorials are favorable toward the superhighway. Isn't that interesting? So farmer or rancher, they're all upset because they're gobbling up their land and forcing them out through eminent domain. And they write a letter to the editor and it never gets published anymore. And the headline says, "This superhighway is good for you." Oh, yes. Now, in addition to buying up the banks and buying up all the media, they're buying up the politicians. Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, there's a reason why he was one of only two governors that was invited to the last elite meeting of the Bilderbergers. One of two governors of the 50 states, Governor Rick Perry. Oh, yeah. America has the best politicians that money can buy. And don't ever forget it. Well, let's go to another area of the world, over to Israel, and we're going to go there because we've got some amazing things to tell you. But first, we're going to have to take a little break. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, Secrets, Volume 149. I'm Tex Mars, and I'll be right back after this message. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, a lot of people have written to me and thanked me for writing the amazing book, Mysterious Monuments. This really is an incredible story with 875 photos and illustrations. It explains that there is an architectural colossus that has risen across this globe, built by the Illuminati elite, based on occult symbols and numbers and rituals. And it may be in your backyard, in your hometown. It probably is. You know, Foster Bailey, a 33rd degree Freemason and occultist, who wrote the book The Spirit of Masonry, noted that in the occult world and with the Illuminati, a symbol veils or hides a secret, he wrote. And it is that, he added, which veils, in other words, hides, mysterious forces. These energies, wrote Mr. Bailey, when released, can have a potent effect. So you need to understand the incredible meaning and impact of this architectural colossus. Now, a lot of people, you know, my book, Mysterious Monuments, is so huge, a huge format, over 600 pages, that a lot of people said, you know, I want my friends, my loved ones, and my neighbors, I want them to know about this, but this book is, I enjoyed reading it and looking at the pictures and studying them, but it's just so massive. Is there anything that I can show my friends that will explain this? And yes, there's the answer. Absolutely. We have now produced a video entitled Architectural Colossus. Its subtitle is Mysterious Monuments of the Illuminati Enshroud the World with Magic and Seduction. Yes, we have a 60-minute video. It's available either in DVD or the old VHS format. So be sure to specify which one you want. Entitled Architectural Colossus. It's just out, and it is tremendous. What a resource. Just 60 minutes, but it has pretty well all of the features of Mysterious Monuments, and I've even added, for your pleasure, entertainment, and let's just say edification, some pictures and information that you don't even find in the book. Okay? But it's a great introduction, and it's a great look at this horrible problem that we're now facing in this world. And you will discover the goals and aims of the Illuminati, their secret plans, through studying their architecture and realizing what a horror this architectural colossus is. Now, here's how to get your copy, DVD or VHS, specify. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. The cost, $25. Please add $4 shipping and handling. For each copy, $29 of Architectural Colossus. $29 postpaid. And virtually the day you call us, if not the next day, we'll have it on its way to you. Okay? We don't mess around here. We do our job. We get this stuff out because we know you're waiting for it. And I don't like those, you know, magazines and TV things that say, order this, and push you, and then right at the bottom, you read the fine print that says, give us 6 weeks to deliver. Nonsense. We'll have it in the mail. Now, the post office may be a little slow. I don't know. You'll take that up with them, or the post office, or UPS, or whatever way it goes. That's, you know, I'm sorry. I wish they were fast as we are, because we get it right out. Believe me. Of course, if it arrives on Friday afternoon, we might have to wait till Monday, but we get it out as soon as we can. Okay? Architectural Colossus. Our telephone number in the United States and Canada, 1-800-234-9673. I guess someday we'll have to say our toll-free number here in the North American Union is, you know, the way it's going. But anyway, that's another story. Not if we have anything to do with it, we won't here at Power of Prophecy. But Architectural Colossus. Now, you can write to us, send us $29, and say, Tex, send me the video, Architectural Colossus. Our address, Power of Prophecy, 1708. That's 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road. Austin, Texas, 78733. By the way, we've been here at this location. Jerry, I guess we've been here 13 years. Yeah, he's shaking his head. Yes, 13 years maybe. But, of course, the ministry has been going on about 23 years now. I think we're going to be coming up on the 23rd anniversary. But we've been at this location, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Beautiful place, way out in the country. Well, I guess they're building more and more homes and places around here now. But I can still look out my back windows, even as I'm recording this show today. I can see a red bird back there, and one bird just tried to get in the window. You know, every once in a while they bang on the window. They think they see something in here. It's probably me, my pretty face. They want to come in and visit me. Oh, yes. And well, my wife says so, Wanda. Come on, Jerry. She says so. She says I'm a handsome, debonair guy. You know, I she could be wrong, but she's usually right. I give her credit for being 100% correct in all these things. Isn't it amazing? No matter how old you get, your wife still thinks you're a pretty nice looking fella. Not everybody would agree, but you know, what are she knows everything. Wanda knows. She's number one. She's the only one that counts. And I'll tell you something else. I think Wanda's still lovely. She's still beautiful. I got out my wedding pictures about 2 weeks ago, and I told Wanda, "You still look like this." And of course, she, you know, I think she really wanted to slap me. She thought I was lying, but nevertheless, it brought a smile to her face. She said, "You really think so?" I said, "Yeah, you look just like that." And she knew I was probably, you know, putting it on a little thick, but I think she still liked it, Jerry. You know, I tell you guys, listen to me. If you don't think your wife is the most beautiful woman in the world, then you should be ashamed of yourself. That's right. You should be ashamed of yourself. Oh, well. Okay. There's guys out there, though. I don't know. You know, there's some guys out there, Jerry, that tell me, you know, that they have never even told their wife, "I love you." Can you believe that? You know, they say, "Well, you know, I'm one of these manly kind of guys, masculine, and it's just really difficult for me to tell somebody I love them." Oh, shut up. I mean, come on. Get over it. You know, Jesus says in the Bible, he loves us. He was a man among men. If he loved us, then what's wrong with telling your wife? Or, by the way, ladies, your husband, "I love you." I tell you what, it changed a person's life. Can you imagine wives out there been married for years and years, and their husband has never simply said, "I love you"? Now, some of these guys say, "Well, Tex, I do really love them, but I just don't know how to tell them." Hey, look in the mirror, move your lips in a certain way until they say symbolically and orally, "I love you." It's so simple. If you have to, write it down and read it to her. Oh, my. I don't know. It's these guys like that. You know what? Come on. Come on. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, I'm just a big sissy. I'm big. I'm a feminist. Oh, yeah, sure. Hey, get over it, guys. God loves you. You know, John said in the Bible, he gave us the greatest secret of all. It's really not a secret. I like to say it is, because some people don't know it. He said, "God is love." The three greatest words in the Bible. You know that? God is love. Now, if that can be in the Bible, and John said it, then come on, guys, get with it. Okay, our address again, very quickly, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the USA. It is still the greatest country in the world. And folks, if you're listening from Australia, Romania, Russia, we have a lot of friends all over the world listening. I don't mind if you're patriotic toward your country. I think you should be. Yeah, and I'm patriotic too. I like Austin, Texas, my hometown. I like Texas. I think we're the best state in the union. But if you're from one of the other 49 states, well, you can be a Hoosier or a show me person or a, you know, what are the other states? Okie? Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, you can definitely be an Okie. I mean, I wouldn't be. I'd be embarrassed, but oh, no, no, no. We people down here in Texas, oh, no, no, no. That's a foreign country up there in Oklahoma. I'm just kidding, guys. I love you. All right, let's return to our regular program. And we're talking a little bit about some secrets today. And, boy, this is interesting. You know, the Israeli nation is now working on getting a president. Now, it appeared for a little while that Zippy Livni, the woman who's been foreign minister, might become the new prime minister, voted on by the Knesset, their equivalent of our U.S. Congress. See, they don't vote there. They're not fully a, you know, democratic country like we are. And they have their parliament who chooses their prime minister. And this woman, Zippy, believe it or not, Zippy Livni, L-I-V-N-I, is sort of leading the pack. But some people want Benjamin Netanyahu. Both of them are people who are warmongering Zionist freaks, to be honest with you. And both of them want to establish a war immediately, World War III in the Middle East. They want to go in and blow the dickens out of Iran. Well, actually, they want America to do it for them. They want us to be the proxy. They don't care about young men and women in our armed forces dying and having their limbs ripped off. The Jews simply want America to be there, just like we went after Afghanistan, just like we went after Iraq, just like we went and killed a bunch of innocent people down in a little town in eastern Syria this very week. We're the big bully of the world. Everybody knows it. But we're Israel's bully. We do it all for Israel. Oh, yeah. And that's what they want. Some people are saying that immediately after Obama is elected, there's going to be all hell break loose. In fact, even his the vice presidential nominee or candidate, okay, Mr. Joe Biden, says within 6 months of Obama being elected, there'll be a major test. A world, you know, class, you know, problem is going to arise. And the steel spine, he said, of Barack Obama, the president of the United States, will be tested in this, you know, horrible global political economic crisis that we're going to face. You know what? Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright said she agreed. And recently, so did former Secretary of State Colin Powell, General Colin Powell. Yes. In fact, Powell says it could occur within a couple of days after the election. Or I should say, after the inauguration, January the 20th. Of Barack Obama. That is, if Obama is chosen. But whether Obama or McCain, it looks like something big is coming down the pike. And it may be from Israel and the United States plotting together to destroy the military and economic capability of Iran and perhaps even to send troops in and seize the oil fields of Iran. That's what they really want, the money, the oil. We took that from Iraq, and of course, we're also building a pipeline through Afghanistan. If you think we're there fighting the Taliban, well, think again. That's just what you've been told. Those mean old Taliban, hardcore fundamentalist Muslims that so evilly treated the women and so forth. Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about the Taliban being evil. But on the other hand, we're not there to fight the Taliban. We're not there because some dude, I like saying that, some dude named Osama bin Laden, who does not even exist, who has been dead for many years, but he's the boogeyman. Woo, woo. We've got to be Ghostbusters and go after the ghost of Osama bin Laden. Meanwhile, the majority of the troops fighting in Afghanistan are there to protect the oil pipeline that's going across that nation. Get it? Get it, folks? Meanwhile, the Taliban, who used to control all of Afghanistan and still control about 70% of it, one of the things they did that was good was to stop all the poppy fields, all the poppy farmers, all the heroin production coming out of Afghanistan, they stopped. They put a stop to that. If an Afghani farmer was caught with poppies, with, you know, planting another field of heroin derivatives, guess what? Off with his head. Off with his head. So, you know, they just quit planting those. They went to just normal food crops. But as soon as the Americans took over, with the help of the British in Afghanistan, we advised all of the farmers in Afghanistan, the drug economy is back. And they're all, I mean, I'm told pilots, Air Force pilots have told me that they fly over Afghanistan now, and everywhere there are fields of poppy flowers. Heroin a-growing. And some of the U.S. troops are there to protect the heroin trade. And they say now that Afghanistan is now number one in the world in producing heroin. And much of it is being shipped from with CIA airplanes around the world. CIA aircraft are being used to ship heroin from Afghanistan. Meanwhile, other troops, American troops, are in Afghanistan to protect the oil pipeline that's being built. And you thought we were there to find Osama bin Laden or his ghost. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we leave Osama or his ghost, and we turn back to Israel again. Now, Pastor Ted Pike is a good friend of mine, and he's been on this program. We offer his video entitled The Other Israel, The Other Israel. And you'll want to order that video. That's a tremendous video. And he has a book even we offer called The Other Israel by Ted Pike. That's P-I-K-E. He sent me some more information about Israel. You know, we also did, I did a video, and you must have it. It's called Cauldron. That's like a witch's brewing pot. Cauldron of Abaddon. And it exposes the fact that the Jews and Israel are producing almost all the world's smut, pornography, triple X rated films, ecstasy and other illegal drugs, and the gambling casinos. They're all run by rich, very wealthy, illuminist Jews. A lot of people don't know that. They think when they visit Jerusalem, they're going over to visit the Holy Land. You don't understand, friends, that Jesus in Matthew 23 and 24 said that Israel was going to fall, that as of the temple, not one stone would be left on another. And then Jesus prophesied that until he returned again, that nation of Israel and Jerusalem would be bereft. That means without, would be soulless. He said that it would become an abomination. There is no holiness in Israel. Read what Jesus said. He said it would be void of anything spiritual or holy until he returns again. Wow. Now, the good news is that Jesus said, however, the Bible makes clear, you can read Romans 11, it says that any Jew who turns to Jesus Christ will be saved. Who believes through faith in Jesus, what the Bible says, the New Testament says, they too will be saved. And they will join the Gentiles who believe. They will be grafted back into the root. Who is the root? It's Jesus Christ. You've got to be grafted back in. Okay? The Jews were cut off. Now the Gentiles were brought in. They were grafted in. And the Jews too, if they believe in Jesus, can be grafted back in. That's the good news for Jews. But as far as physical Israel, it's lost and it's dead and it will never return because Jesus said it would be so. Until the Son of Man returns, until Jesus Christ returns, this is an unholy, godless place that in fact the book of Revelation says that great city Jerusalem, where our Lord was crucified, that city, the Bible says, is nothing less than Sodom and Egypt. Wow. Holy land, my eye, that's Sodom and Egypt you're visiting over there. Now, Pastor Pike puts out this information reporting that pedophilia is thriving in Judaism's right wing. But he notes something. He says, let me read what he says here. He says, a recurrent theme of Judaism's highest authority, the Babylonian Talmud, is the right of Jewish men to have sex with three-year-old girls. Now, that may have been so much for you to take in, to digest, that you can't believe it. Let me read what Pastor Ted Pike, who, believe me, has studied the Jewish Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, that's their holy book. Now, you may say, oh, no, Tex, the Old Testament, the Torah, is their holy book. You are wrong. The Jews have a holy book called the Talmud, T-A-L-M-U-D, and the rabbis say that it is superior to the Old Testament. So let me read what he says again. A recurrent theme of Judaism's highest authority, the Babylonian Talmud, is the right of Jewish men to have sex with three-year-old girls. I have documented the Talmud's dirty secret, Pike writes, with copies of passages from the Talmud to prove that the Jewish Talmud, their most holy book of Judaism, endorses this perversion. Wow. Woo. Throughout the past decades, Mr. Pike adds, many instances of pedophilia have surfaced in Judaism, particularly among ultra-Orthodox Jews. Now, recently, he says, the Jewish newspaper, The Forward, by the way, that's the top publication in the United States of Jews. You may not have read it, but they read it. It's called The Forward, F-O-R-W-A-R-D. He says, a recent article in the Jewish daily newspaper, The Forward, had an article entitled, Haredim Jews Begin Confronting Pedophilia. It was dated October the 2nd, 2008. And the article confirms that pedophilia exists among many ultra-Orthodox Jews to a degree that can no longer be concealed. He says, the article, and I'm talking about the Jewish publication now, says that the sexual abuse of children is prominent in the ultra-Orthodox community, and there are many high-profile cases now coming out. In 2000 and 2007, high-profile Jewish leaders were charged with many counts of sexual abuse. Usually, however, says Forward, they receive no prison time. Wow. Meanwhile, according to this article, now listen to this, a man whose last name is Mondrowitz, a Brooklyn, New York Jew, who was indicted on 5 counts of sodomy and 6 counts of sexual use of children, fled to Israel, where he is living openly now and is not in prison, nor has he been indicted, nor will Israel return him to the United States for trial. If you're a child molester, the Forward magazine says, now get this. One of the Brooklyn, New York's own assemblymen, a Jewish leader named Dov Heikind in the Forward says, the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community has become a haven for child molesters. Child molesters. Wow. Well, folks, naturally they would. Rejecting Jesus Christ, they'll believe anything, and they will do anything. Believe that, because I'm telling you the truth. Now, I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. This has been a volume of secrets. Been great being with you today, and my prayer is you'll be with us each week during the same time. Yes, discover the power of prophecy.